Matthew 13, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Verses 36 through 40. 44, the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. What a chapter, what lessons. May God bless us with a grasp of the truth of these parables. We began some time back with our study and meditation of the parables of the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens, as set forth in Matthew 13. It seemed good to the Lord that we deviate these past two Sundays because of the prominence that is accorded the resurrection of our Lord. And today we return to these parables. We had four, and there remains three. Every word and every movement of our Lord is fraught with significance. As the parables begin, we read in verse 1, The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, verse 36, which I read a moment ago, is then Jesus sent the multitude and went into the house. Being in the house, he left the house and sat down by the seaside and spoke four parables. After completion of the four parables, then he dismissed the crowd, went back into the house with only his disciples, and inside the house with his disciples spoke three of the parables. The sea in the scripture typifies the Gentile nations of the world. The restless, ceaseless surging of the surf, characteristic of the Gentile nations, never at rest, never peace, never quiet. House is always associated with Israel. The house of Israel, the house of Jacob, the house of David. Now here we have, in a very dramatic movement, our Lord leaving the house, turning from the children of Israel and going out to the seaside to the Gentiles. Now, these parables began the same day. Chapter 12 concludes with describing to us and telling us of Israel's rejection of the Lord. Now, the same day that Israel rejected the Lord left the house or Israel and went to the Gentiles. The same day Israel rejected him, he rejected them. And he spoke four parables, the parable of the sower, in which one-fourth bears fruit. The parable of the tares, in which we have a mixed condition of saved and lost, continuing to the end of the time. The parable of the mustard seed, which we have a mixed condition of saved and lost until the time of the end. The parable of the leaven, in which we have the false doctrine planted in the true until the whole has been leavened with the false doctrine. And as you study and read and think upon those four parables, inevitably you come to the conclusion that few there will be that are saved. Then the Lord turns from the Gentile, so to speak, and comes back into the house and speaks three parables to his disciples. Three parables that describe three particular group of people who in the eternal council chambers of God have been saved from eternity. And he reveals to us that many there are that will be saved. Many. Now, he mentions the hid treasure. That's Israel. He mentions the pearl of great price. That's the church. Then we have the dragnet, which has to do with the tribulation saints, those saved under the preaching of 144,000. A group that cannot be numbered. So we learn that many are to be saved. Now, the difficulty in teaching and speaking on these parables is the false teaching that is abroad in the land today. I have some 20, 25 commentaries on Matthew. I have some 10 or 12 on the parables of our Lord. I have a half a dozen or more just on the 13th chapter of Matthew. And would you believe that just two of all of those see the truth of these parables? The treasure. Now he's back in the house, just speaking to the inner circle, his disciples. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. 99.49% of the commentators teach that the treasure hid in the field is salvation. That the field is the church, and here's a man hunting salvation, and finally he finds salvation hidden in the church, and then he sells all that he has, and then he buys salvation, he says. And all the people say, amen. And that's the end of that. They do the same with the pearl of great price. Now, I just read a few moments ago in your hearing. What did our Lord say the field was? The world. The field is the world. The field is the world. Show me anywhere in the Word of God where we read that one has to buy the world to be saved. Now you watch me, and you won't miss something that might happen. Praise the Lord for these babies. I'm not going into a discourse on that. You know my attitude on that. I'd rather holler a little louder now than they are than to get out and help you hunt them when they're teenagers. Now let's bring them up in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And don't embarrass the parents by saying, well, I wish they'd get them out. Us adults can't hear. Well, this is not an adult ministry. This is a ministry for all. Amen. the Lord ministered to all. And when they told him to get rid of the kids and babies, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Amen. Now, having straightened that out again, let's go on. The field is the world. Now, here's the first error or heresy in that commonly accepted interpretation. Here's a man hunting salvation. That is foreign to the Word of God. Someone says, we had a meeting not long ago in our church and so many found Jesus. Brother, that's something to find Jesus when he's been pursuing them all their life. He's been with them all the time and they're running from him. Men don't hunt salvation. What do? The minute a man sins as Adam and Eve did, they ran and hid themselves. Is this church full of lost people? How many lost people here this morning hunting Jesus? Well, there may not be any lost people here. I've never thought of a church a place for lost people. I've always thought of a church a place for saved people, where they get fed, strengthened, sustained, and then they go out and witness to the Lord. That's the way it was in the New Testament. That's the way it was there. The lost are not hunting Jesus. They would interpret the parable of the lost sheep. Here's a man had 100 sheep and one of them got lost. And that lost one got out and hunted the shepherd and hunted the shepherd days and nights and hunted the shepherd. And finally he found the shepherd. And he led the shepherd home rejoicing that he'd found the shepherd. No, that's not it. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't came to be sought. He's near every one of us. You don't find Jesus. He finds you. He finds you. And your duty is to receive him when he finds you, not reject him. Another error in this thing. Here's a man hunting salvation. When he finds it, he sells all that he has. Show me anywhere in here where one buys salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's a free gift of God. There's nothing right at all with that interpretation. Instead of a man buying the world in order to be saved, believers are admonished to give up the world. Not buy it. No. Let Jesus' explanation stand. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure. Get your concordance and run treasure. You'll find several passages of Scripture. Several passages of Scripture. You'll find one in Exodus. You'll find one in Deuteronomy. You'll find one in the Psalms, which tells us that Israel is God Almighty's peculiar treasure. Israel is God's treasure. Israel. Israel is God's treasure. Now, here we have a man. Jesus tells us that the male character in these parables is the Son of Man. The Son of Man. He was a sower. The Son of Man. Here's the Son of Man. Finds a treasure hidden in the world. Jesus the Christ, the Son of Man. He comes. He comes unto his own. He comes unto his own. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. He comes. He comes. I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Son of Man comes. And he finds a treasure. Where does he find them? He finds them hidden in the world. Hidden in the world. They'll not receive him. They'll not have him. He's come to redeem them. He's come to redeem them. He takes them. He scatters them to the four points of the compass. He hides them among the nations of the world. Then he buys the field. The field is the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for the sins of the world, Jew and Gentile. He died for all. He died for all. He came and he hid Israel. Israel is still hidden. The true nation of Israel. Israel is a nation and has been since May 14, 1948. But according to the prophecy of Isaiah, those that return in unbelief are going to be destroyed one day. And after that, the true Israel will be returned to their land, one-third of the total population. They'll go back in. Now, he has hidden them. They're hidden. Contrary to popular opinion in some circles, nobody among Jewry knows to what tribe they belong. Some contend there's still 10 tribes lost. Some contend that 2 tribes came back from captivity, but the Word teaches that individuals from all tribes returned out of captivity. But the tribes are hidden, and the nation as such under God is hidden. And then the Lord bought the field. The Lord bought the field. There's an error abroad in theological circles today called limited atonement. There are those who teach that Christ died only for the elect. But my Bible teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ is a propitiation not only for our sins, the elect's sake, but for all, the whole world. He died for the whole world. Jesus did. I think one of the great tragedies of eternal retribution is to be found in the fact that all who suffer eternal retribution will be individuals for whom Christ died and whose salvation they refused. They wouldn't take it. They wouldn't take it. I see no judgment or condemnation to a man who's doomed to eternal hell when Christ didn't die for him. No, there's not. But everyone in this place of eternal retribution is going to be without excuse because Christ died for them and they heard of it and all they had to do was receive him. Now, Christ bought the field. He sold all that he had. He sold all that he had. That's quite some verse of Scripture. People get confused with the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said to him, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Lord said, "Keep the commandments." And he said, "Well, these I've kept from my youth." And then the Lord said, "Well, there's one thing thou lackest. Sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor." There are those today in the majority who teach that that's a way of salvation. The way to be saved is to sell all you have and give it to the poor. That isn't. I tell you, beloved, salvation is of grace. And if it's of grace, then nothing of man can enter in. Or else the grace of God has been diluted. No. No. Now, Israel is God's treasure. Israel is God's treasure. God loves Israel. Israel right now is God Almighty's adulterous wife. Israel is in unbelief. Constant state of disobedience. Hated for the gospel's sake, but beloved for Christ's sake. And Israel is God's treasure. God Almighty says concerning Jewry, concerning Israel, "He that toucheth her toucheth the apple of my eye." The pupil of my eye. He that toucheth Israel sticks his finger in my eye, so to speak. God loves Israel. God loves Israel. The epitaph inscribed upon the tombs of the nations of the world. Risen and fallen are standing according to their treatment of the nation of Israel. I, as you, appreciate the milk of human kindness flowing in the veins of so many people as they go out to the suffering people of Vietnam and other countries. But where is that love and kindness flowing to the suffering of the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Down with Israel! I tell you, beloved, Israel is the apple of God's eye. Israel is God Almighty's treasure. Oh, what a verse of Scripture. Abraham called of God and set aside to be the head of a nation, going to be the blessing to all the nations of the world. God says concerning him and his posterity, hear me, I'll bless him that blesseth thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. This is God's treasure. This is a treasure. This is a treasure for which Jesus Christ gave all. It's a treasure. It's God's treasure. Israel was disobedient. Israel suffered and continues to suffer. But one day, God's going to reclaim her. One day, God's going to restore her to her place of ascendancy among the nations of the world. Look briefly at Deuteronomy chapter 30. A comprehensive passage of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Speaking of the curses in chapters 28 and 29, the Holy Spirit continues, and it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. They're out there today, scattered among all the nations of the world. And one of these days you're going to remember these things. Then you shall return unto the Lord thy God, shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart, with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. Now listen, if any of thine be driven out unto the uttermost parts of heaven, those that go out there to Mars, Saturn, any of the other places, though they go to the uttermost parts of the heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee, and the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And on he goes. In Isaiah he tells us that the second time God's going to stretch forth his hand and bring them back. They are his treasure. Now, the Lord God Almighty finds this nation of Israel, this treasure of his, he finds it hidden in the world. I wish I could impress upon you the importance of the right attitude toward and treatment of the people of Israel. A treasure, a hidden treasure. But you and I come in contact with individual members of this nation, and we have plenty of opportunity to minister unto them in a spirit of love and of compassion. Now, our Lord finds this treasure. He comes, and he finds him. They reject him. But when he rejects them, he rejects them. He sets them aside. Now, that's not permanent. So many places in which I'm privileged to minister, when I begin to mention the Jew, they say, listen, God Almighty threw with them. They had their chance. And now God threw with them. I said, well, you forget. The human race as a whole had its chance, and they muffed that chance. And then God called Israel, and then Israel failed, and God set them aside. And then he gave the Gentile nations a second chance, and he's going to give Israel a second chance. That chance is coming. God found this treasure. Jesus the Christ found this treasure. Oh, the lament. Would God I could portray it, but I can't. Only the heart of our Lord can. Maybe one day we can enter into it fully when we're with him. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which are sent unto thee. How oft would I have gathered thee together as a hen doth gather a chicken under her wings, and ye would not. He would not. How he loved her. How his heart was broken because of Israel. But he finds her. He buys the field. He hides her there. Israel. Israel. There's a remnant of election according to grace from the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Only God knows how many have been saved in the Old Testament days. I will state this in passing. That the number of people that are going to be saved far exceed those that are lost. Even though Isaiah says that hell hath enlarged her mouth, that she may receive the vast multitude that will descend unto her. But 10,000 times more those that are saved. Now, Israel, hidden by God. One day Jesus is coming back. One day he's coming back. The preservation of Israel as a race, as a nation, as a people, through all the years and centuries is evidence that God still has a plan and a purpose for them. God has promised them a land. God promised to Abraham, and he covenanted with Abraham. He renewed that promise to Isaac, and then he made a covenant with Isaac. He renewed that promise to Jacob. And then he made a covenant with Jacob that they and their posterity would have for an everlasting possession the land that reached from the Nile River to the Euphrates River. I've been thinking about that a great deal this past year. If you come to realize the unlimited wealth of that country just in oil reserve alone. All of that is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one day, they'll go in and possess it. Israel. Israel. God loves Israel. God has promised to bless you as an individual if you walk along and are a blessing to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's promised to bless a church, a corporate body, if they walk along the pathway of being a blessing to Israel. He's promised to bless nations. Nations, if they will be a blessing to Israel. God has told us in his word, Psalm 122:6, God has laid this burden upon you and upon me. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee, is the promise of our Lord. This hidden treasure is the nation of Israel. God has plenty of saved people. My heart goes out to those Christians who cannot like the Jew. What an unhappy condition is going to prevail for them when they get to heaven. Find our Lord is a Jew. The disciples are Jews. All of the Old Testament. What an unhappy condition is going to prevail for them when they get to heaven. Find our Lord is a Jew. The disciples are Jews. All of the Old Testament saved are there. What a day that's going to be. I have a peculiar love for the Jew myself. I've got a book that I love. And I'd rather try to present the truths of this book than do anything in this world. And I got this book in its entirety from Jewry. Every book in here was written by a Jew, humanly speaking. I got it from the Jews. How could I hate those who gave me this? I, sinner that I am, stand before you saved by the grace of God because a Jew died in my stead. A Jew died in my stead. I stand before you this morning saved because in the spread of the glorious gospel of the grace of God, a Jew heard the cry one night, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the gospel spread westward instead of eastward. The Apostle Paul kept trying to go east with it. And he kept trying to go east, and he kept trying to go east, and door after door after door was closed. And then God said, Paul, there's a man over yonder in America by the name of Wilson that I've saved and called into my service. And you've got to go west with this so that this gospel will reach him. Now come over into Macedonia and help us. And Paul went over into Macedonia and he continued to go west and west, even unto England. And then on board ships they left there and they came to this country. And when they came to this country, they moved around and they went down the Atlantic seaboard and around up the Gulf of Mexico and came in to that state called Tejas or Texas. And then the missionaries and other workers came along, and one day one told me of the grace of God and of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. It was a Jew who started that gospel message this way and brought it this way. And I got it, and you got it, beloved. All that we are and all that we have spiritually, we owe to the nation of Israel. We're told in the 11th chapter of the book of Romans that this tree, this domesticated olive tree, symbolized Israel. But because of its unfruitfulness, God cut off some of the branches and in their stead grafted in some of the wild olive branches, which were Gentiles, so that any fruit that is borne by a Gentile believer is so born because the sap comes up through the Jewish roots, through the Jewish trunk, and out into the Gentile branches. All that we are and all that we have is because of Israel. That's God's treasure. That's God's treasure. Now, they sinned against God, and they failed God, and they were set aside by God, but not forgotten. Not forgotten. So prominent are they in the mind, plans, and purposes of God that your blessings and my blessings, the church's blessings, anybody's blessings or curses are conditioned by and dependent upon their attitude toward and treatment of the nation of Israel. This treasure of God, he's hidden it. And he bought the whole world in order to get this treasure. And he got it. His eyes have borne it. One of these days he's going to pluck it out of there and set it back in the land of Israel. David will come to sit upon the throne and reign over the house of Israel. 12 apostles will be raised up to rule each one over one of the 12 tribes. So prominent are they in God Almighty's plans and purposes. God Almighty situated them in the center of the earth that His blessing might flow in every direction from Jerusalem, the very heart of the earth itself. Now, this parable. Let's look at it once again. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of the heavens is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The nation of Israel hidden in the world. Which when a man, this man is the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to seek. He came to seek. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He comes now and he seeks. And he finds this treasure hidden in the world. He found Israel there. They've been a found people ever since. He found Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees. He found the children of Israel in slavery down in Egypt. And he brought them out. He found them now scattered to the four winds, hidden among the nations of the world. He finds them there. And now, having found them, though rejected by them, he gave up all. He gave up all. In order to rightly appreciate that which he gave up, at your convenient study sometimes, John chapter 17, where the Lord asked that the Lord restore unto him all of that which he surrendered when he left heaven. See that which he left. And then God will restore it to him one day. All right. So he sold all that he had, and he bought the field. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. Now he bought it. He bought it. And everything that's in it is his. Israel. Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Father, bless. Bless this time of fellowship. This meditation. We thank thee, Lord, for that day back yonder. 30-some-odd years ago, when thou didst open our eyes to the fact that Israel is thy peculiar treasure. And the promise that no weapon that's formed against Israel shall prosper. And the promise of particular and a special blessing upon any and everyone who will be a friend to this treasure of thine, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We thank thee, Lord, for this church, its constituency. We thank thee for the many friends of this church who've all proven to be a friend, Lord, to Israel. Pour out thy promised blessings individually and corporately. And now, Father, we pause to thank thee for the Jew, Jesus the Christ, for thy word that has come from Jewry, for every blessing that is ours through the nation of Israel. Help us to be a blessing to Israel. For thy sake, we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.